clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. I'm
breaking news.
I thought you were trying to do like a song that I would know, and I was ready to jump in.
Oh, I
like,
really appreciate that.
I was standing there like, okay,
I gotta figure it out.
What's the song? Tell them the breaking news, man.
Yeah, Robbie Chosen, wide receiver of the Miami Dolphins, has been cut.
Whoa!
So
it's the end of the Miami season.
Really, yeah. Wide receiver room's not impressive. I'm Josh Lapping.
I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi, and my mic's all tangled up. I should have done this before we started. But, surprise, guys. It was supposed to be another episode of Soul Possession today, but it's not. It is Simultaneous Catch because Adam sucks.
That's not true.
Our board meeting ran really late on Tuesday when I was supposed to record. And then yesterday I was lazy.
No, it's okay.
And I was going to do it today.
I was excited.
But
it's a fun hangout.
It's fine. I did not get my friend's fortune. I still made a friend's fortune. I stuck it on a post-it and on a poll in Josh's office. And I was said that we're going to have our first tie this week. And we didn't have it. But we had the most amount of games in NFL history decided on a last-second field goal.
Which was awesome. I really appreciated about this week. Was this week all the talking heads and whatnot were kind of really down on this week because we didn't have a lot of marquee quarterback matchups. And obviously we're getting into that territory with how many backups and injuries and things we've seen at the quarterback position. But this was a really exciting weekend of football.
Yeah, there were five teams, Arizona, Cleveland, Detroit, Houston, and Seattle, that converted on a game-winning field goal with no time remaining. It's the most game-winning scores of all time. When there's no time remaining in regulation in a single week in NFL history, right? And then there was one more that happened on Monday Night Football.
But we don't talk about that.
It's fine.
We don't talk about Broncos.
That's pretty good.
Thanks. I don't really know that movie that well.
It was on Monday night. and it sucked. Let's just, you know what, let's get... Well, wait, what was yours? I forgot.
I said the wide receiver.
You got yours right. That's why I'm ignoring it because I'm upset about it. You got yours right.
The thing I will say about that real quickly.
You nailed one of the numbers.
I got 23 targets exactly. They had 19 catches. I said they'd have at least 17. The thing that I thought was really exciting because I love these wide receivers so much was that they attacked downfield so much where a lot of the times, you know, like they have the quick like – in routes where like they can get like 3 yards or something, but both Amon-Ra and Keenan, they had 331 yards between the two of them.
Yeah, Amon.
For me, I thought it was so exciting.
I mean, those got to be your two favorite receivers in the NFL, right?
Adams is still my favorite.
Saying, obviously, Devontae because of your connection with you know them, but outside of that,
those two are like chef's
cool.
kiss.
That's cool. That was a really exciting game. It was really hard to turn away from that one. While there were other exciting games happening as well, so Rant, rave, recall.
So I'm going to rave about CJ Stroud. This is something I considered doing last week without you, but I didn't want to seem like an overreactor based on it, on his great win against Tampa. I obviously talked about them, but when I was talking about that game, I wanted to say that he is absolutely deserving to be in the MVP conversation right now. And I didn't want to be like, okay, Josh, like, he had one really great game, like calm down. But all the things that he's doing, not only statistically, which is great, but just the poise and the leadership. And, you know, we talk about high drafted players, quarterbacks specifically, they go to situations that aren't the best, right? And we talked a lot about Houston in the offseason, that we liked the moves. We liked DeMeco Ryans. We liked their aggressiveness to trade up for Will Anderson. You know, they have nailed other things too, right? Nailing the draft of Tank Dell and having Dalton Schultz come over in free agency, which wasn't an overly exciting free agency signing, right? He lasted in free agency for a pretty long time. But he's making players that aren't necessarily marquee names, like, they're all stepping up. And I think he absolutely deserves to be in the MVP conversation right now.
I agree 1,000%. I mean, we keep talking about how much I was wrong about, you know, I never said it was be bad, but at the same time, like, he was like my fourth best quarterback coming in, and he's just been awesome. But what I'm interested in now is to toss you something else, because my rant was going to be about the Bills and Josh Allen, and about how I think that we all need to calm down a little bit and talk about why I think that Joe Brady is going to be a really good help for this offense. But mostly, I want to talk about how Josh Allen's not having a bad season. And I love that you pointed out C.J. Stroud, only 2 interceptions this year, right?
Oh, you're about to do this whole turnover-worthy play.
Listen, I'm just saying, Pro Football Focus tracks the stat, and Josh Allen is tied for 9th best with C.J. Stroud, who only has 2 interceptions. So, again, there's a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? There's a little bit of subjectivity to this, right?
There really
is. But not, like, a ton, right? And Dan Orlovsky made this point, too, on First Take. I think it was this morning or yesterday morning. But he talked about, he went through all the interceptions, right? Taking out week one, because week one, absolutely, he made some terrible choices in that game. And I would never come out and defend 2 of those interceptions. But after that, out of the 9 remaining out of those 2 really bad ones, right? There were 2 this year that are on, like, 3rd and 15 or 20+ that he launches up that I think any coach in the league is like, that's fine. Because you're either going to punt it down there anyway, right? Or you get, like, a crazy good completion or a flag, right? That happens all the time, right? So I don't care about those. That's down to 7, right? And then there's 2 that are flat out just tipped off the receiver's hands, including the one on Monday night for Gabe Davis. Totally not Josh Allen decision-making or his fault, right? That's down to 5, right? So there are reasons why turnovers happen. And yes, throughout his career, Josh Allen has struggled with turnovers. But this season, just this season, right, I do not think that Josh Allen has a turnover problem this season. I think that he is making good decisions and he is having bad luck. And I think that, like, I think that there is an argument to be made that sometimes he absolutely tries throws that are harder to make than others. I think the one interception on Monday night that he forced near the end of the first half, that's a throw you just can't try to make in that scenario. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He still has a few of those, right? But I think that the rest of these are blowing this out of proportion a little bit. He still leads the league in touchdowns this year. He still leads the league in completion percentage, and he's still top 5 in passing yardage, right? And so I think that because it's an easy thing for people like Stephen A. Smith, who do not watch all these games. I'm sorry. He covers too many sports. He does not watch all these games, right? To say, oh, he's got 11 interceptions? Wow, he must be having an awful season. And he's not. Like, Josh Allen is a gunslinger. There's going to be some turnovers. But I think you really need to look at the nuance here and look at how they're happening, right? And I think that's important. So I think that there is some issues happening right now schematically, and I think that that's why Dorsey was let go. I think that listening to again, I think also Dan Orlovsky, who was talking about this, but Mina Kimes also talked about this, about how when Buffalo's in certain packages this year, everybody knows the 2 plays that they're going to run. It's going to be one of these types of zone runs, or it's going to be a quick slant to Diggs, and that's it. Those are the 2 plays out of, like, multiple different formations. And so there's no creativity. And so you're forced to have your stars, like Allen, just do everything, right? And he's always going to be that because that's the type of player he is. But I just think that just like last year, where so many people got way too much on Dak, we're getting too much on a really great quarterback who has had some bad luck.
There absolutely is. I'm going to push back.
That's fine.
Respectfully.
That's fine.
Lovingly.
That's fine.
There absolutely is luck involved with this in the turnover category. Yeah, one of the turnovers, the Gabe Davis off the hands because he threw it so hard, which he just has a cannon of an arm, right? That's not his fault. So I understand that there are definitely situations. I personally don't agree with you on the whole like pass punt thing where like you were that was gonna be a punt anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So what I mean, like, what's the better thing there, to just check it down for 5 yards and then punt it to where it ended up anyway?
I mean, I don't think it necessarily this isn't solely on Allen, right?
Sure,
this is
sure.
Play calling and everything.
Yeah.
But if it's 3rd and 15, that doesn't mean you need to chuck it 50.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if what we've seen in the NFL today, you pick up 10, they're gonna like, well, we're gonna go for 5. You know, so there are nuances to it. So I don't necessarily agree with the 3rd and 15. Let's chuck it 60, and if it's intercepted, no big deal. But yeah, so I agree with you, especially with the statistic. You can't lie with statistics, right? That they had the same number of turnover worthy plays and whatnot. So it just depends on what the defense does with those opportunities. But I have seen plenty out of Josh Allen where it's like, oh, like you put it in a bad spot.
But I think the point that I'm trying to make is that great quarterbacks do this all the time, right? If like, and again, maybe if your argument is that you think that the turnover worthy play stat is not reliable enough to talk about it, then we don't have to have this conversation.
I mean, it is. It is worthy.
But what I'm saying is that this is the percentage through 10 weeks. These are the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These are the top 8 guys. The lowest 8 in turnover-worthy play percentage, right? Herbert at 3.3%, Mahomes at 3.3%, Hurts at 3.2%, Jackson at 3%, Tua at 2.6%, and then Stroud, Allen, and Burrow all at 2.4% or lower. Joe Burrow leads the league in the lowest amount of turnover-worthy plays at 2.2%. So what I'm saying is that like when you have these guys who – I just named 8 of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. These are all star quarterbacks. There's going to be plays where they are – forcing it a little to try to make a really good play, but for the most part, all 8 of those quarterbacks are making good decisions, right? And it just so happens that when all those other quarterbacks, some of which who have higher percentage of turnover worthy plays, when other quarterbacks this year are making the mistakes, the defense isn't capitalizing on them. And when Allen has, all the defenses have capitalized on them, right? Now, I think that partial of that, and again, this is like, we're in classic Bills mode where I'm just trying to bend myself over backwards to figure out how we're going to win and be better. But like genuinely, I think that part of that is the fact that our offense has lacked creativity this year. And I think that when the turnover worthy play happens, it's because, okay, we know he's probably going to force it here because that's what the play is. And so I get an extra jump on that play to pick it off, right? Whereas some of these other ones, I mean, we're talking about the creativity in the Houston offense has been incredibly impressive this year. I mean, it's taken everybody by surprise a little bit how creative they can be. So that when Stroud is making the mistake, it's not as easy to have the turnover because they're like, I didn't even know that was the play that was going to happen, right? So, I mean, that's super deep into the nuance of it all, right? Which matters, but I just think that just like, and again, I was also a defender of Dak through all the discourse from last year. I think that when we see quarterback is great, which I think Dak and Allen fall into the great category. I think we can argue whether they're elite or super elite or elite minus or whatever we call it, right? I think we can have those arguments, but I think we can all agree that they are great quarterbacks. I think that when great quarterbacks have seasons that have a lot of interceptions, I think that for the most part, we just need to give them a pass because we know they're a great quarterback.
My last thing about this, and then I want to talk about the offense, is that you can say and talk about the whole giving the pass thing where like Dak right now has 6 interceptions, right? This hasn't necessarily been his entire career, but we've seen every single week the stats of Allen where year 1, year 2, year 3, it's been the most.
Yeah, and I also
think it can't be like, well, this is an outlier, so it's just a little unlucky.
If there's anything that I think is actually an issue, more than the interceptions is the fumbles. Like, because he leads in the turnover category.
Yeah.
And I think that people are thinking that that's just interceptions. I think the interceptions at this point of his career, this year, I'm not worried about the interception part. I think he's gotten to a point where he's making a lot better decisions when he throws it.
Sure.
It is the ball security in the pocket and sometimes when he's running. I think that is actually something that we got to figure out how to eliminate that.
Sometimes when he's handing off.
I don't know. That one was so, so painful.
Anyway. But I want to say real quick, I am excited. I am excited for Joe Brady to come in. I said to you on Tuesday morning or Wednesday or whenever I saw you after the game, I do feel like there's going to be an infusion of creativity to go outside of what is in Buffalo right now. I'm just fascinated to see how long it takes, right? Because when you implement a new system, right, like teams spent an entire offseason to do these things, I think we'll see some things sprinkled in and continue to be sprinkled in and worked on and cooked on, right, as we go on through the second half of the season here. But I do think we need to temper our expectations a little bit, being like, new offensive coordinator, everything's to be so different.
And we lost to the Jets last year too, and then the second time we played them, we ground and pounded our way to a victory. So it could end up being that way, especially with how well
Cook and Murray definitely got that Monday. Going.
One last thing on that game. Somebody, a Bills account that I follow, said, updated Bills stupid loss tiers. Tier 1, the 13-second game. Tier 2, the Minnesota Miracle. The New England win game where Mac Jones threw two passes. Losing to Urban Meyer 9-6. Tier 3 was the 12 men against Denver on Monday, the week one loss against the Jets, the Hail Kyler Murray, the Texans overtime loss, and then the 1,000-degree loss last year in Miami. So there's also tier 4 and 5, but I won't go through all those, but it's just...
Are these like of the last couple of years?
Yeah.
It's all pretty recent.
It's just we have... it's insane how many like crazy heartbreaking losses we have, and it's just... If they had to prove more and more that that's the team that I should like. Anyway... I'm excited and encouraged to see what will happen on Sunday against one of the better defenses in the NFL.
Sure.
I just want it to be turnover free, right?
It might be a lot from this defense, but we'll see.
All right. We don't have rundown, guys. I don't know if you know this, as I motion again to the TV for where everybody is. I didn't do a rundown. I was going to do a lot of off-the-cuff stuff. So this is a fully improvised episode of Simultaneous Catch. Okay, we're going completely off the cuff. News and notes is Robbie Chosen was cut. Incredible. We can also talk about the Deshaun Watson injury, who is big. Now out for the season.
It's huge. Yeah, so Deshaun Watson officially is having shoulder surgery. Had to make sure I said that crisp, because I could have messed that up pretty easily. So he is out for the rest of the season. Apparently, I mean, we know that he's been dealing with a shoulder injury for the last handful of weeks, but something happened in the first half of the game against Baltimore where it was...
Shoot, I don't know if it happened in the first half. Maybe he should play the rest of the season.
I was going to say, because the second half was perfect.
Because he went 14-14 in the second half.
So weird. So obviously this is huge news, right? So this is going to be the second year in a row into this contract that the Browns have gotten less than a half season out of Deshaun Watson. I don't think we necessarily need to talk about the state of the Browns. It's tough. They are turning. They are not going with P.J. Walker. They're going with the rookie.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson, which I'm excited for. I think that he kind of got a bad rap, like, literally day of finding out that he's the starter. I think it's tough.
Against an upper echelon defense.
Right, it's really tough.
But I think this just has to prove that we'll never see a deal like this again, right?
No, we won't. Because, and again, it's one thing for the character concerns that we have talked about ad nauseum. But it's another thing to the injury concerns, right? Like, and it's weird because this is going to cause so much more conflict in contract negotiations, because the players are going to look at this and go, see, that's why we're fighting for guaranteed contracts, so that we don't lose our money if we can't stay on the field like that. And the organizations are going to say the same thing and be like, see, that's why we don't want to give you guaranteed money, because we don't want to lose our money if you're not on the field, right? So you're absolutely right. I'd be surprised if we get these fully guaranteed deals more. But yeah, I mean, it's tough for the Browns, who are 6-3 now, a half game out of first place because they beat the Ravens, right? And so they're primed to, like, possibly win the division here, and they lose their quarterback who finally looked like he was recapturing some of his old
a
magic.
Little bit. That second half was really impressive.
And so we'll have to see. Like I said, Dorian Thompson-Robinson was a quarterback in the draft that I really loved, but we all know that I'm not the quarterback evaluation guy, so I'm probably wrong about that. Sorry, Cleveland fans.
So you did – well, I'll ask you real quick. Just so give me a real quick recap – or not recap. That's not the right word. Excuse me. But tell me what the expectations are, because you said he got a bad rep, which I think he did. He came in and faced tough defense. What do you expect out of this rookie for the rest of the year?
And the report was that he found out the day of the game that he was playing, because Watson was supposed
to play.
That was
the whole, that was the beginning of this saga.
And then like in warmups, they were like, hey, by the way, you're starting, right? And I don't care who you are. That's like the impossible to do, to just step into that.
Justin Herbert.
I was just going to say, except you're Justin Herbert. Great at quarterback evaluation, am I. Although, listen, guys, I said I would rather have Tua than Herbert in that draft. I didn't say that Herbert was going to be bad, okay? And Tua's been awesome. So, yes, so Dorian Thompson-Robinson played at UCLA, set all kinds of records there. He's a very, very mobile quarterback. He's got that. He's a smaller stature guy, so when he runs, it's kind of like that Kyler Murray-esque. I don't think he's quite as straight end speed as Kyler Murray, but he's got that mobility to him.
Sure, he is 6'2", 200 pounds,
and he's a little bit bigger as well. And so, but I think that he's got a good arm. I think that sometimes his issue is that he doesn't go through like all the progressions, because at UCLA it was very much like a one read, two read, run, which is that happens in college football.
Yeah.
So I think that he's had a lot of this time to learn. He played in one game that was terrible, so there's a lot of bad tape for him to look at and be like, okay, here's the mistake I made. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And so I don't expect this offense to be explosive right away, but I do expect there to be some nice broken plays with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, where he moves and finds Amari Cooper or Elijah Moore down the field, finds Jerome Ford late when he's running. You know, there's that – one of my favorite plays in football is that when, you know, quarterback is running out to the left or the right, and then the running back kind of stops running with him and cuts up the field, and the quarterback's able to sort of like – go right over the linebacker to get him, and then he gets saw. Those type of plays I think will happen a lot. They're going to run the football a lot. There's going to be a lot of read option with DTR. That's what they call him.
DTR.
So, yes, I'm very excited to watch him. He's a player that I really liked. I think he was a fourth or a fifth round pick. So the Browns get to see, like, is this a guy that we could move forward with? I know they can't really move off of Watson because it's a fully guaranteed contract, but it'd be nice to know that you have somebody else there if this Watson stuff continues to be not at all what you wanted when you made this trade. So,
yeah, I think the only other real, I don't like saying it this way, significant injury to talk about is Dallas Goedert, who actually the team has backtracked a little bit. The news earlier on in the week was that his fractured forearm was going to require surgery, putting him on IR for at least the 4 weeks, where now they're like, maybe we're not going to do the IR because we still have our bye week coming up, so that'll help alleviate the four games a little bit. So what's going on with Dallas Goedert? I mean, he has a fractured forearm, so we know that, but we don't necessarily know how much time he's going to miss.
Seems to happen a lot with Dallas, where he gets an injury and then like goes on IR for that 4 or 5 weeks and then comes back and is actually really great. So we'll have to follow that closely. So it's likely if he misses a couple of weeks, he'll be out for that rematch on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. So,
who they famously sniped from them.
Which
fun.
It's fun.
Fun. This actually, though, I think is like the week of returning from injuries. So we're possibly going to see Justin Fields. We're possibly going to see Khalil Herbert. We might see Justin Jefferson.
That would be huge for a game. That game is tough, too. So we'll talk about that. So we talked a little bit about the Detroit Chargers game with the friend's fortune that you got. Talked a little bit about Buffalo and Denver, suddenly streaking Denver. Because of rant recall. But let's talk about some of those other close games that happened, right? We had the Falcons and the Cardinals, the return of Kyler Murray. You got me on that friend's fortune.
We get me all the time now. So
we also had the Commanders in Seattle go down to the wire as well. So which one of these do you want to hone in on and chat
that
about?
One was a doozy. I mean, the Commander-Seahawks game was really, really fun in terms of the final 2 minutes. We saw so much happen. I was in the car grabbing dinner, and I was listening to, it was the Commanders call, just because that's what NFL radio had on at the time. And it, for as much as I don't like team play-by-play calls, like, when it gets really exciting, it always makes it fun. But yeah, that was a game where, you know, we saw a lot of aggressiveness. There was 27 points scored between the two teams in the final quarter, which is obviously pretty darn exciting. We saw DK Metcalf almost costing the game by doing a little too much there on the final catch. And then we got to see the walk-off kick. That was just a game where I get that these teams are kind of heading in different directions right now, especially when you look at their overall record, 4-6 for the Commanders, 6-3 for the Seahawks. But this is a game where two teams showed a ton of fight, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and Sam Howell leads the league in passing yards now. He's the number 4 overall fantasy quarterback. He went 29-44. 312, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. This is the Commanders are 4-6, but I think they have a quarterback.
I agree. This is not a situation where you're like, well, we got to go invest in a new guy right now.
We were very excited about him, how he ended the season last year. We were excited how he started the year. He had a pretty terrible game against Buffalo, and he had a tough game against the Giants. But outside of that, he's been awesome in pretty much every game. Now, they have a really interesting schedule to finish the year at 4-6, so I don't know that they're going to fight for the playoffs because they have the Giants this week, that's a one that you would think a team like them wins. And then they have to go to Dallas, and then they host Miami, and then they have a bye week, and then they go to the Rams, to the Jets, and then they host San Fran and Dallas to finish the year. So that's really tough for them, but the Commanders have fought. I don't know what this means for Ron Rivera. I think it's probably time for Rivera.
I think it's still time to go.
I think so. You know, if they backdoor their way into the playoffs, maybe there's a conversation that you keep them.
I still don't even know if I agree with
that.
Well,
I mean, no. So that's not me saying that's what should happen. That's what me saying might happen.
Sure.
So, yes, I do think it's probably time to go. And maybe that means that Bieniemy becomes the coach because he has this connection. Like, he's helped Howell be this quarterback, right? So we'll have to wait and see on that. But, yeah. And then Seattle's a team that, like, is going to fight for the win this division, right? I don't know.
This is a huge game this week for Seattle.
Did you pick them?
No, I picked
we both picked the front 49ers. Yeah, I flirted with picking Seattle, but it's just it's tough. But they're a weird team too, because they sometimes look really, really good, and they sometimes look really, really bad. But I think for the most part, they're just a solid football team.
Solid's a great adjective for them. Yeah. So, as the pseudo Falcons fan, real fast, in under 2 minutes, give me the 2 minute drill on the return of Kyler Murray.
Yeah, so Kyler Murray returned, and I think just reminded a lot of us Kyler fans, because I've been a Kyler fan too, outside of the, you know, being the Falcons fan. And he showed us exactly why he's such an exciting player and why he's a guy that's hard to give up on. He moved around. He had a couple of huge runs, especially late in that game, to seal it. But yeah, I mean, Atlanta's in a terrible position because you have so much that's good on your team, but your quarterback, it cannot be consistent enough for you to win to the level that you should win with the other pieces on your team. And then there's questions at leadership now that Arthur Smith is now like fighting with fans, right? So I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Really? Like, no. He is literally calling people losers because of fantasy football. And, like, fans are shouting back at him, and he's shooting back.
Like, fans on the sidelines?
No, like, he's being asked questions about it in press conferences, and he's being, like, super glib and, like, arrogant to them.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He definitely hears it and is fighting it back, and it's kind of annoying. As a guy who, like, was defending Arthur Smith for a long time, it's a little annoying. But, again, and I said this to you, too, like, there's a level of, like, I get, we're not here to play fantasy, we're here to win football games. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But when you're losing football games because you're not feeding your playmakers, then it's not about fantasy. Yeah. It's about you're not feeding your playmakers.
I talked about that last week.
But yeah. Bijan was, you know, scored last week, so I don't know.
So all is good.
But
so tell me real fast, the Falcons are on their bye week. The bye week was we're going to reevaluate our quarterback conversation. We did see Taylor Heinicke get hurt, so Desmond Ridder did come in. He did have the rushing touchdown, did have some nice passes, some nice throws, but didn't get the job done. Did have another fumble. So tell me, where do the Falcons go on this back nine?
Yeah, I said, I think that they might feel that they've seen what they need to see from Ritter. I feel like I would just stay with him the rest of the year because what's
stick
the point?
With Ritter.
We know what, and I said this, we know what we have in Taylor Heinicke. We've just seen enough to know what Taylor Heinicke is. He's pretty good, and he's a good backup, right? But he's not going to lead you to playoff wins and division titles. So I think you should stick with Ritter. I think we've seen enough of good from him to hope that there's a chance that he could grow into that and, you know, mitigate these fumbles. Fumbles on the one-yard line, too. Like, that's happened a couple times to him. So I think that that's what you should do. I don't know if that's what they will do because I refuse to try to predict Arthur Smith. It's just unpredictable.
Perfect. Well, have any other games you want to recap before we move on?
No, I think that was pretty good. We don't need to talk about Monday night more than we already sort of did. So excellent. Let's just get
it's
into...
exciting when you see a fire drill, though. Pals Picks.
Oh, yeah. I always say that
felt
when,
better.
When you do
felt better.
The solo episode, you always do that better solo than I do solo.
Nah.
Well, it's better together. There's no argument there. But like when you do it by yourself, you hit that low register, and I don't get that high register.
Oh,
very
I see what
nicely.
You're saying.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, a quick recap: you went 2-1 last week. I went 1-2, so you have a full 2 weeks on me. We're running out of time, so I'm starting to sweat a little bit. You have a record of 20-10. I'm sitting at 14-16. I got to give you the games first this week, and we're going to be talking about tonight, the Thursday night football game. Both teams coming off a loss. The Cincinnati Bengals heading in to take Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, so it's likely you're listening to this when the game already happened, so I'm going to talk about it like it already happened. So it's really cool that Adam was right about the Ravens coming out and just smacking the Bengals in the mouth. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to blow them out. I think that the Ravens are going to show up, and I think that they are going to be incredibly aggressive at the line of scrimmage. There's going to be a ton of pressure on Burrow all night, and I think their run game is really going to shine in this game. It might end up being close, but I'm very confident Baltimore gets this one. And then there are some concerns then, at 5-5, that the Bengals started too slow. Now, the good news for the Cincinnati is now that they've lost this game, because again, it already happened when you're listening to this. Now that they've lost this game, the good news is that they have the tiebreaker over a team that might be fighting them for the 7th seed in the Buffalo Bills. So they could end up being okay and sneaking into the playoffs. But I think that because they lose this game on Thursday, tonight for us, yesterday for you listening on the show, because of that loss, I think that they get taken out of division contention, and then they're fighting for 6-7 from there.
That'll be interesting. I will say, when they played each other in week 2, Joe Burrow on one leg, it was only a 3-point game. I think this is going to be close no matter what.
Yeah, I think it'll probably end up being close because that's just what the division is, but I think that we'll come out of this and being like the Baltimore out-muscled Cincy. I think that's what they'll say.
Okay. Very good, very good. Taking Baltimore at home. The second game I gave you was another AFC North showdown, which isn't as exciting anymore, maybe, but the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling in to take Cleveland.
It's far more exciting for me. I just got to say this. I gotta say this. Not only that, I'm going to take this one step further. I was going to pick the Steelers when Deshaun was the starter. I'm picking the Cleveland Browns with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, rookie quarterback I know against this Steeler defense, but they're at home. He's had time to prepare. I think they're going to utilize his legs. I think they're going to allow him to attack downfield to Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore, and I think this defense, Kenny Pickett is struggling, man. Kenny Pickett is not playing well, and I know that people were so excited he hit Deontay Johnson for the first touchdown connection of their careers together.
I was.
That's so exciting. It was the only touchdown he threw that day, right? So there's just – they got to be better. The run game was awesome last week. I don't think that happens against the Cleveland defense, and I feel way better rooting for Cleveland with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, so I'm going to put my chips in that basket. Let's go.
Let's go.
Browns in the upset.
I like it. Browns at home with the upset. They're – These North games, you know how they are. This is a heated rivalry, so it's going to be really exciting no matter who's under center. And then last but not least, we have a Super Bowl rematch. The Philadelphia Eagles heading in to take on Kansas City. Both teams off. I'm sorry. Only one team off their bye. So we have a Super Bowl rematch. What happens?
Travis Kelce, fresh from Argentina. It was a lot of fun on TikTok this week to see T Taylor and Travis together. God, you hate it so much. It's so funny. We're going to get our Taylor Swift correspondent Lexi on the show to talk about this just because I know you would hate it.
Let's go.
Yes. So I will be rooting for Philly in this game because delusional Bills fan Adam still hopes we win the division and get a bye week. Did you not hear what I said? Delusional Bills fan Adam?
I love you.
Welcome to the party.
This feels good. I feel like I'm in college again.
Guys, I'm sober. I want you all to know. I'm just delusional.
Fountain of youth over here.
We're turning 30 pretty soon, pal. I will be rooting for Philly. I also think Philly wins.
Okay.
So this is tough. I think that this is one of those, like, they're just going to be ready for this game. I know that, like, Casey's coming off the bye, but I think they're like, we need to show everybody we should have won that Super Bowl and that we can win it if we get to it again this year. I think they're going to come out and just play smash mouth. I think the run game is going to do very well against Kansas City. I think that Hurts might struggle in the past. There might be a turnover or two. But I really, really think that Philly's going to come out firing in this one. And it'll be fun. The Kelce brothers are having quite a moment right now with their New Heights podcast and, of course, Travis's relationship and their Christmas album that's dropping soon. It's very exciting. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a really good game, but I think I'm going to go Philly in this one.
All right. So you almost went with the home sweep. You took the Ravens at home, the Browns at home, but the Eagles on the road. I'm really excited for this cornerback versus wide receiver matchup. I think we have some two pairs of great ones, Trent McDuffie and Legarius Sneed. Yes, thank you.
He's very
and
good.
AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. Yeah. It's going to be great. That's going to be awesome.
But who covers Travis Kelce?
Well, not N'Kobe Dean because he is.
Just put Jason Kelce in there.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect.
All right, so let's get to the games I gave you. The Broncos, the suddenly surging Broncos,
now 4-5,
saving their season. Again, another team that if you're fighting for the seventh seed and it ends up that, you know what? It doesn't matter because we're going to get the number one seed. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they're not going to be fighting us. But they would have the tiebreaker over us if they were fighting for us. They're hosting the also super hot Minnesota Vikings, America's darling team this year, with Josh Dobbs playing the Creed in the background. Who wins?
Playing the Creed. I like that. Kirko, get well soon. Get well soon. Yeah, I get that Denver's defense has been absolutely lights out the last 2 weeks that they've played because they did have a bye week in between. But the last 2 weeks they were on the field, they were great.
Patrick Mahomes couldn't score a touchdown, and Josh Allen only scored twice.
I don't know if I can see them continuing on the high rate of turnovers that they have produced in this game. And you know what? I think Minnesota's defense is catching a little bit of fire as well, right? I think Brian Flores reeled back a little bit over the first couple of weeks. And was like, maybe we're not like this aggressive. Let's play to our strengths a little bit more. I'm going with the road team on this one. I'm going to carry on the Josh Dobbs magic. I think Justin Jefferson is preparing to play in this game.
Yeah,
all the reports that we've seen. So getting him.
Be very, very
and,
exciting.
You know, the rapport we've already seen between Dobbs and Hockenson, adding that alpha number one over there will be great. So I'm going to go with the road team on Sunday night.
Can you take me higher? The answer is yes. But Denver fans, we still welcome you arms wide open. Let's go. The Houston Texans, fresh off their upset of those Cincinnati Bengals, hosting Kyler Murray in his second game.
Yeah, so this is a game that I think will be really, really exciting. Probably something that you looked at 5 weeks ago and you're like, oh, God. But now it's like, oh, yeah, like this is going to be good, right? I think both quarterbacks are going to play well. I was really, really impressed by seeing what Kyler Murray was able to do coming off the injury. But when push comes to shove, I don't know if I see Arizona's defense stopping CJ Stroud enough. So I'm going to take Houston in this one.
And last but not least, I got to level with you. I was convinced you were going to give me this game. And at 2 a.m. on Monday when I was putting up the Christmas tree, I was like, and I'm going to pick the Jets because screw the Bills. But now I'm obviously the Bills are going to be the one seed, so it's fine.
I want to say real quick, you said you didn't stay up late to put the Christmas tree up. So now I'm getting the truth.
I'm a liar. I'm just kidding. The Buffalo Bills hosting the New York Jets with their new OC, Joe Brady.
Yeah, this is, and I'm sorry that this might be the reason the Bills are losing because I'm picking them and I've been bad this week, but this is the Bills game to win. They're at home, and I understand that Josh Allen has for a handful of years struggled against this New York Jets defense, but right now the Jets offense is just not doing nearly enough, where I do feel like there will be some turnovers, whether or not they're unlucky or they're just like scratching your head, Josh, and making you be like, what's going on? I think that's going to happen. But I really liked what I saw out of the Bills ground game last week. I think they'll continue to ride that because they're not just going to suddenly be like, new offensive coordinator, well, let's go back to passing 50 times a game. But this one's at home. We saw this script last year where Buffalo struggled against New York in New York, and then at home, they looked pretty comfortable. I think that happens again here. I think Josh Allen gets this one right to set up for the last 5 weeks that is just...
Oh, man. Yep, because then we go to Philly, and then we have our bye week, and then we've got Kansas City, and then we've got Dallas, and then we've got the Chargers, and then we got Miami, and then we finish the season with the rematch against New England.
So. Well, that's... Flip-flop those last two.
We finished with Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right, because I said that... See, I'm thinking that New Year's is like the end of the season like it used to be, but you're right, because I've said that I wanted that to be the flex for Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
And that'll be for the one seed, so it'll be exciting.
You're going to go to that Pats game and see him win. Well,
be awesome. A
good luck charm.
Awesome. Exciting. So you went with the Vikings on the road, the Texans at home, and the Bills at home.
I just needed to match what you were doing. Bring that same
energy.
I agree with that. Yeah,
too,
so. Great.
All right, let's get into some...
Fantasy Corner!
Fantasy Corner!
Yeah, so let's
we got
head
a good
over.
Team.
We have a good team.
We have a good team.
We've had a good team. I mean, we have, I talked about it last week, we have hit the gauntlet of teams playing their absolute best against us, which stinks. We have 50 more points scored against us than the next team, so, but we absolutely try to bring it as much as we can. We are... Obviously, we talk about it every week, and I don't want to sound repetitive, but we continue to be the highest scoring. So we're consistent, right? We're not a one-off. So we're sitting at 6-4.
Now, this week is tough because we're going to be missing a couple of our big-time players, including our starting running backs, Jonathan Taylor and Bijan Robinson, as well as, I believe, Chris Olave. Because, right? The Saints are on
bye. The Saints are on their bye.
So
correct.
We will be missing three of our biggest players.
Well, Philadelphia was on their bye last week. I'm sorry. That was an error on my part.
Yeah, they're both coming off their bye.
Yeah, I said that, and I was like, oh, wait, no, Philadelphia
wasn't. I forgot we had Jalen Hurts. So when I was looking on Tuesday at our lineup, and I was like, ooh, quarterback. And I was like, oh, that's right. We get Jalen Hurts back. We were the highest scoring team last week without our quarterback. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. So I feel good about our team. We just got to keep taking care of business. I don't think there's something necessarily for us to adjust on our team right now.
It is the trade deadline, so we did get a couple of trade offers, right? So this morning we got two separate offers for Dalton Kincaid, Buffalo tight end, who in this league, so for those of you who don't know, it is a half-point PPR league, but tight end premium. So tight ends do get that full point. Which you wouldn't think really matter, but it does make a difference. Tight ends score more points, especially ones like Kincaid and Laporta, who we have that score a lot. And so we've been using our extra flex position to flex Kincaid and play Laporta, and it's been paying off for us very well because they're both targeted a lot and they're both utilized a lot. A trend that I do think will continue under Joe Brady, who has used a lot of two tight end sets in his short play calling career. But so we did receive two offers. One of them was Dallas Goedert and Keaton Mitchell, which is interesting, but not very good because we just talked about Dallas Goedert has a fractured, forearm?
Yeah.
So he's going to be missing time. And Keaton Mitchell, who I really love as a player, not somebody we need on our team right now, right? Because we've got good running backs, and there's no guarantee that his work continues to be a lot, right?
Right. He only had, I think, 5 touches last week.
Yeah, right. And he did a lot with them, but he's not going to. There's reports is that he'll get used more Thursday night, so we'll have to see, or you will have already seen when this happens. And the other offer was Taysom Hill and James Cook for Dalton Kincaid, which is a hilarious offer because of Taysom Hill being, the number 4 tight end in fantasy this year?
I think he's the number 7,
it's
at least
so
in this league.
It's so funny. Taysom Hill is a cheat code.
Yeah, so tell me, so is Dorian Thompson-Robinson like your like pickup guy in fantasy right now?
So here's the thing. Our quarterbacks right now are Hurts, Love.
Sure, take us out of it. Take us out of it.
Well, I was going to say, we have Will Levis, and if you want to take a shot on if you're in a super flex, I'm all about taking shots on new guys coming in, especially ones that are fantasy friendly, like running quarterbacks. So I'm all about picking those guys up and taking a shot. I tried to in our Dallas correspondent Mike's league. Somebody already had him. Somebody picked him up like minutes before I went to pick him up. I was so mad because I struggle with quarterback in that league. But yeah, I think if you're in a super flex league, like I'm not saying to play him this week. I actually think he'll play well. I don't know about fantasy, right? I don't think I would play him against the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, but if you're struggling at quarterback, and especially in a super flex, you got to take shots on these guys who could end up being league winners. Even if it's just, okay, he was on my bench for 2 weeks, doesn't look like he's got it, they're going back to PJ Walker, done with it, right? There are five or six bench spots for a reason, and one of them is to take a guy, stash him, and see what happens, right? It can't hurt.
Sure. Yeah, I'm all about Jalen Guyton right now, wide receiver for the LA Chargers with the injuries.
He's definitely a big pickup for a lot of people.
With the injuries that they are facing at that position right now, he has just returned from injury. He came off IR last week. He had 6 targets, 4 catches, or no, excuse me, 2 weeks ago he came off IR, but he finally got to see some action against Detroit, scored a touchdown. There are reports that he could have an even bigger role next week. I'm really curious to see what happens with the wide receiver position. We obviously know Keenan Allen is the one. No one, I think, has really stepped up into that number two super confidently yet, so we'll see if it is Guyton. But if you need somebody, maybe not even to play him this week, he does have a kind of tough matchup, kind of, sort of, against Green Bay. They haven't been friendly against wide receivers, but it's also not impossible to do against them. But to have, like, oh, he could explode and become that guy, and then you definitely want him. So that's somebody that I think is definitely someone to look out for.
I'm hanging on by a thread in a lot of my leagues. It's like one more loss in 4 or 5 of them, and I'm just done for the year. So
isn't it a fun game?
But I have a couple of nice teams, so that's fine. All right, man. You got any cold reads?
I do.
Episode is cold, so.
I have 2 cold reads for you. Okay, this is the first one. This is the serious one, okay? So I believe it was Colin Coward that I heard talking about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. So it wasn't after the drama we saw on Monday night. But he was talking about forward thinkers versus steadying a ship, right? So he talked about Andy Reid. When Andy Reid came to Kansas City, he didn't only help steady that ship, right? It was a organization in flux, but he also thought forward. He thought, oh, we have Alex Smith, but we're going to think about the future and draft this kid that I think has a lot of potential in Patrick Mahomes. I like to think about it in business, and I thought about like Steve Jobs, where in 2002, he wasn't like, oh, we have like this iPod Nano. That's great. Let's make it a phone. So he talked about this in terms of Sean McDermott, and I don't think you can understate enough how much he's done for the organization of Buffalo. He came in and absolutely steadied that ship and led them to the playoffs, ended that playoff drought, and has helped been there and done that. But is he forward enough thinking to help get the ultimate goal of getting that Lombardi trophy finally to Buffalo? That's my question for you. I really liked something you said this morning, that Leslie Frazier's gone now, that Ken Dorsey's gone now. Those were decisions made by him, so it's on him now. Is this the guy to get it done?
Yeah, there's nobody else to blame if this doesn't go well. I have flip-flopped on this a lot. I was having a conversation with Mike, actually, before the Monday night game about McDermott and a lot of the same things, right? Like, he's a guy that can bring culture to your organization and like and steady the ship, like you just said. But there are questions about how far can you go. It's hard for me to say we have to move on from McDermott after thinking about this all week, because it has been on my mind. It's hard for me to say because he completely turned around one of the worst organizations in sports, right? The longest playoff drought ever in professional sports belongs to us, right? And he broke it. And then he led us to the AFC title game, led us to the 13 seconds left in the AFC divisional. Did he make some coaching mistakes in that game? Sure, right? But like consistently winning the division 3 straight years in a row, 4 straight years in the playoffs. it's just hard to move on from that guy for me.
Yeah.
And I know fans are upset because we have a superstar quarterback. I'm one of them too. I'm also frustrated, right? But the grass is just not always greener.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I am afraid that we would make this decision if we, God forbid, miss the playoffs, or let's say we sneak in as the 6 or 7 seed and lose in the wild card. Like, I am terrified that we say, nope, not good enough, we're moving on, and then we find somebody who runs it into the ground.
Sure.
I am so afraid of that. So my opinion would be, if we miss the playoffs, then we can have that conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to have the discussion until we find that out or not. If we make the playoffs in a year where 4 out of our 5 best defensive players missed the majority or large portions of the season, and we still make the playoffs, I'm not ready to move on from Sean McDermott. I'm ready to give him a pat on the back for the job he's done with the defense after missing so many of these impact players, right? And then see what happens next year, right? But if we, like, really fall off here and we lose a couple more of these games and we're just not in contention and we miss it, then I'm ready to have a conversation about it. I'm not ready to be like, fire the guy, which some fans are. Our fans are emotional. I'm one of them, right? But I'm not ready to have that until that event would happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, this definitely is a what are you doing for me right now league, which sometimes can be very detrimental. Sometimes it can be the right decision. But
we forget that one team out of 32 wins it all every year.
Yeah.
One team, right? So there are a ton of teams who aren't winning it every year, right? And it's unfortunate that you have to win that first one to get that security, right? Because, hey, when's the last time Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl? It's been a long time,
yeah.
Right? But nobody questions his job because his team is good every year, right? If McDermott would have won one of them, then he would have had security, right? So all it takes is winning one to give you that security, and it's unfortunate that that's what it takes, but I'm not ready to give up. We make the playoffs every year yet.
Sure.
After 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
Right? People are – you just said, what have you done for me lately? I'm not – I do not forget being an 18-year-old crying because we couldn't make the playoffs, okay? I'm not ready to give it up yet.
Very good, very good. And my second cold read, this is a little bit of a dig. Let's say that in 3 days from now, the Jets win. Are we still in the boat to be like, Buffalo's getting the number one seed? Are we still going to have those conversations?
Is Miami on a bye week?
They just were.
So who do they play this week?
Vegas.
If Miami and the Chiefs both lose and we lose, no, I won't jump up.
You're great. You're great.
My first cold read for you is about the Green Bay Packers. So
yeah.
We came in. It's one of your first loves, the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. We talked about how exciting it was to come into this year with Jordan Love. And he showed some flash, but he's also shown some really bad play.
More bad than flash, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably. I want to know, like, just sort of where your headspace is as a fan. Have you already started to scout quarterbacks for next year, thinking that that's what you need to do? Or are you like, we need to, like, still see this through?
No, of course. Of course I'm looking at the quarterbacks because I think this is a fairly – this is used often, unfortunately. But I think this is a fairly historic class. So, of course, I'm looking at it, especially with how high the Packers are drafting. But the Packers, unless we start to see some crazy things, and then there's still a lot of time, but I don't think they're in the top three conversation. So I don't know if, like, and obviously depends on how things fall and trading and all of those different things, which can obviously all happen. But right now they're looking at, like, the 6, 7, 8 kind of spot, and they're absolutely going to be looking at a lineman because it is what the Green Bay Packers do as an organization. So, yeah, of course, me, where I'm all about excitement and flash, right? Like you said, Aaron Rodgers is what made me help fall in love with football and the Green Bay Packers. So I love seeing great offensive play. So, yeah, when there are so many great quarterbacks that I think is 5 to 6 deep that I'd be like, oh, yeah, like this is a guy. Of course, I'm looking at that. But when you get into organizational building, that's just not what the Packers are going to do unless, you know, like I said, they could in theory lose out and some other things can happen. So if they're in that top three range, then yeah, like you have to be looking at that quarterback position.
So this leads me to cold read 1.5. What happens with Matt LaFleur if you're in the top three conversation? What does the organization do?
Yeah, so this is interesting. Similar to Sean McDermott. Now, there have been times this year that I am critical of Matt LaFleur. I think Matt LaFleur, a lot of the times, is coaching scared with Jordan Love. I think we saw him kind of come out of the preseason, which the Packers were pretty hot in the preseason, and we saw that roll over into the first 2 weeks, I would say. The first 2 weeks, I was like, yeah, like they're letting it fly. Jordan Love isn't necessarily like airing it out a ton, but there's creative routes going on where they're pushing the ball down the field, and I feel like it has regressed, and he's being like, oh, like they're turning the ball over, or he's not showing well in like these third and eights or whatnot, so they're being a lot more conservative. I don't like that. I think maybe now more than ever, when you have this quarterback situation going on where there's so many guys coming out, you need to know whether or not you can trust this guy moving forward. But this is also for the first 3 years of his career. And I understand he had Aaron Rodgers, and that will always be the caveat, but he was the winningest head coach during those 3 years. We saw three consecutive years of 13-plus wins that hadn't been done before. He helped turn the player around in Aaron Rodgers that didn't want to play, didn't want to be there, and made it exciting and fun for him again. So while I am critical of him this year, absolutely, and I think he deserves it, I think to be like, somebody else better is out there, I don't think that's true.
I agree. And, you know, there's only going to be a couple of really hot shot candidates next year, right? We're talking Ben Johnson, probably Lou Anarumo, right? Press Taylor has gotten some buzz, but there's not a ton of
Jim Harbaugh.
God. there's not a ton of like, oh, look at this guy.
Sure.
The bell of the ball is gonna be Ben Johnson and where he wants to go, if he wants to go. Outside of that, it really is kind of like pick your poison, right? I have often talked about my love for Raheem Morris, who's the defensive coordinator right now for the Rams. I'd like to see him get another opportunity. But you're right. Grass is not always greener. So,
yeah. All right. You're going to get one right here.
Oh, I am going to nail this one.
Let's
right
go.
Now.
Yeah. Let's go.
And you're going to – what's so funny is – and I'm going to tell this right now. I'm going to say it right now before you leave.
All
right. What's either going to happen is it's going to be perfect, and you're gonna be like, I cannot believe that that was your friend's fortune and that you got it right. Or you're going to be like, ah, buddy, why'd you say that?
Let's go.
This is a return to the true form of Adam Jeffrey Rossi. As Lappin closes the door, the dark door. All right, here we go. Bold as bold can be. I'm tired of playing it safe. The Buffalo Bills will not only win Sunday, Josh Allen, Mr. Turnover Machine, will have zero touchdown. Or sorry. Oh, excuse me. Will have zero turnovers. Josh Allen will have zero turnovers. Okay, that might have been the worst friend's fortune I've ever done.
Hang on.
I'm telling you, I think that I cursed myself because I went to say the word turnover and said touchdown, and then I said the F word. And then I tried to say it again, and I messed it up again. And then I had to like speedily say it. So I don't know if I cursed myself.
So is there's an F-bomb in the episode?
I mean, like I'm definitely gonna remove the F-bomb.
I don't want you to remove it. I just want you to put a sensor over it.
Okay, I'll put a sensor on it. But I legitimately like it. It was so quick, and I was like, no, wait. And then I did it again. So I don't know. I'm leaving now.
Oh man, I was gonna say you're worse. Remember when you said Nathan Peterman was gonna throw like four touchdowns opening week? All right, everybody. To be honest, I don't really have a friend's fortune right now. So I'm going to say, oh, God. We're going to see at least 8 quarterbacks scramble for more than 50 yards this week. I don't know if that happens every week. So it might be lame. If it is, if I find out that it is, that happens all the time, we won't count that one. But that's what I'm going to say right now. Oh, I also said it. I just also wanted to. I did, so you're gonna have to edit.
You just want me to do it twice.
Yeah.
Oh man, Nathan Peterman, I miss you.
He's still in the league.
Who does he play for?
Did he get cut by Chicago?
Yeah, I thought he got cut by Chicago. I was so sad.
I didn't know that.
I wanted him to play instead of Tyler Bagent, but I enjoyed Tyler Bagent. I think he's shown some nice stuff. Wow, and you're right. That probably is my worst Friends fortune. Wasn't it the first one, too? Wasn't it our first year? That was our first episode. It was my very first. And we set the tone because I think you got yours right because yours was like Matt Patricia Detroit defense against the Pats. I remember this. Yes, because you
that wasn't week one, though.
Oh, was it week two?
I think it was like week three.
It was early. I was gonna say, I know it was early, but I remember that one was one of your first one you got. So we set the tone early, and we've...
Do you remember the 1 year, just to reminisce in our
final we're fine.
90 seconds? Remember the one time we said the same thing? It's only happened once in our entire show, but
I don't
said
even remember what
thing.
It was, but I... Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember what it was.
I remember it happened.
I took a picture it happening.
Oh, because you had listened to it and you knew that we had said
the same
thing?
Well, because I was listening to yours first... And I knew that I said the same thing, okay.
I do remember you taking a video of it. I don't remember at all what it was.
I don't either.
That's funny. Do you think it'll ever happen again?
I don't know. Like, I'm pretty shocked that 100 times we've said something and we've only said the same thing once.
Yeah, I mean,
statistical odds, I guess, are favorable of that.
100-plus episodes. Yeah, I mean, it's only happened once.
Yeah.
It's fun. Happened early on, I think, too.
It was our first year.
Still on your on the lunch tray in your dad's workout room.
Yep. The OG studio.
Thanks for listening to the show, guys. Thanks for listening late after Adam was licking his wounds after Monday night. The tree is up. The lights don't work, so I need to find... Great. That's why they're not on right now. I need to find better lights before I put the other decorations on it, unfortunately. I also this episode is sponsored by anybody but Bleeping Kroger. Did I tell you about the fiasco that happened with the Kroger app?
With your Instacart?
Yeah, I filled all out, everything that I needed, and I put in my card and said, sorry, we can't do this. So I put it in three different times. Then I called Kroger help. For a half an hour, a guy tried to explain to me that I was doing it incorrectly, and then he hung up on me.
Yikes.
And then I called again and was on for 45 minutes with another guy, bless his heart, was trying so hard, and I got so frustrated that I was like, you know what? I'm sorry. Feels like we're not going to solve this. I'm just going to try the Walmart app. Thank you. And then he was like, have a good day, and hung up on me. So I don't have groceries.
Sometimes I'm thinking about our Papa John's experience a couple weeks ago.
Maybe I am unlucky.
Just, maybe it's you.
I am unlucky. Hi, it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me.
All right. Well,
thanks
sorry,
for listening,
Kroger.
Guys. And screw you, Kroger. Enjoy week 11, everybody. God bless.